Does anybody have a special request of prayer? Just lift your hand up. We're going to pray and get started. Amen. Amen. What's his name?
Grayson.
Grayson. Okay, we'll do that. We'll pray for Grayson. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll pray for Grayson. We'll pray for Grayson. Miss Kitty is in the hospital. Okay. Did you have something? Okay. All right. Anybody else before we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, let's pray and we're going to get started. Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in your house today. Lord, we thank you for being a God that hears and answers our prayers and that loves us and that you desire to have a relationship with us. Thank you, Father, for being that kind of God. And Lord, as you know well, we are a needy people. And Lord, we have needs. And we have some that are sick and afflicted. We pray for Grayson and his surgery. We ask you to bless in that situation and help him to get through that and bless the family. And then we pray for Miss Kitty. She's in the hospital, Lord. Not sure what's going on, but Lord, we know you do, and we know you're the great physician that you're able. And Lord, we pray for those, Lord, that are lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that they'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd help somebody to cross our paths, Lord, that need to know Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach. And Lord, I pray that something said today that will help somebody and help and resonate in their hearts and help them to be better servants because of it. Lord, I ask you to help me to say only the things that you'd have me to say. And we thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus and the precious blood that was shed on the cross for our sins, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the remedy. And we just ask all this in the name that's above every name. Lord, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we're going to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 13. We're just going to do a little bit of we're just going to talk. How about that? We're just going to have a little talk today. And so when you find your place, say amen. Amen. All right. The Apostle Paul. Let me do this. First of all, when you read a Pauline epistle, okay, one that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote, like we're reading out of right here, 2 Corinthians, he is not talking to lost people. It is a letter to the church, all right? And the church of Corinth was one of the most liberal, carnal churches in the area, okay? They were struggling. They were like babes in Christ is what he called them, babes. Anyway, so when Paul writes a letter, he's not writing it to the lost people. He's writing it to the church at Rome. He's writing it to Galatia and all that's churches. He's talking to people that are saved, people that are born again, amen? That's what he's dealing with. And you'll read through there, and you'll think, well, he's preaching to lost people. No, he ain't, because we're made out of the same stuff. We all mess up. And he's teaching over there, and he's like, well, you don't fornicate, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, you know, he's talking to saved people, all right? So we're going to start reading right here, and then we're going to talk about being biblical separation is what we're going to talk about today, okay? What does it mean to be separated, all right? Biblically. I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about when you get born again, what happens and what God wants you to be and how he wants you to conduct your life and stuff like that, okay? So in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 13, it says this. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again, Therefore, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh, yea, though ye have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know ye him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. That's why it didn't make sense. Excuse me. But it was good. Amen. It was good, even though I was in the wrong spot. Wow. Wow. I know what that was. I was looking at some cross references this morning. Hey, never a dull moment in this Sunday school class when I'm here. All right, I apologize. Let's get started now. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot. I'm still not in the right spot. Here we go, here we go, here we go. I'm looking at 13. I'm sorry. It has been one of them mornings. We just got through the nursing home, and man, we had a time down there. I'm still trying to recover from that. All right, now I'm in the right place, I promise, this time. No, I'm not. I just looked at Corinthians first. Hey, I'll get there. Just listen, if you think this is easy, you come up here and do this. Okay, now I am for sure in the right spot. All right, now for the recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Okay, so I want to look at a few key words in these verses. In verse 14, I want to look at the word yoked, okay? That word yoked means to be confined in a yoke. Okay, so I know y'all have seen this. Probably not recently, unless you've been to maybe Hamptonville. But back in the day, when they plowed, they used oxen or mules or whatever, and there was a wooden yoke that went across their backs, and then there was a bar that hooked them together, kept them yoked together. Well, the Bible's telling us here not to be unequally yoked. So what that looks like is if you put a mule that's this tall on this side of the yoke and a donkey that's over here. You understand what I'm saying? That's unequally yoked in that respect, okay? But that word yoke means to be confined in a yoke. It means to be joined or coupled or bound together. It also means enslaved. So what he's saying, he's like, be not yoked with unbelievers. Listen, when you get born again, we witness the people that are lost, okay? But what he's saying is you shouldn't be... a good way to put this. You shouldn't be like with them all the time. Does that make sense? Like if you're struggling with something and God saved you out of that something, whatever it is, you shouldn't be hanging around them same people that you were doing that something with. Does that make sense? Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Same thing with people that are not saved, because you can get sideways. If you're a new Christian or whatever and you're hanging around people you used to hang around with that's not saved and you're trying to evangelize them, all right, that's great. But you can't be there all the time like you used to be. You have to love them from a distance. Has anybody got family members you have to love from a distance? Lord, I got a whole flock of them. Amen. But you see what I'm saying? It's because they're on a different path. They're on a different path than you're on now. Okay, so don't be unequally yoked. And then if we read down and into farther down the verse, and it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, that word fellowship means communion, all right? It means intimate familiarity, all right? That's like close. I mean, that's like close friends. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about best friends. I'm talking about a friend that you would go into the trenches with. I'm not saying forsake them. I'm saying be careful with that fellowship, because it could hinder you, all right? I'm not telling you to throw the baby out in the wash. I'm telling you to be careful with the fellowship that you have with people that are close to you, that are not saved, that are unequally yoked, that are in bondage, okay? You got to be careful with that. And then it goes on down to verse 16, and it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That word agreement means concord or harmony or conformity. Basically, what he's saying is, once you're saved, you are not to conform to the ways you used to be. You're supposed to be a nonconformist. When you get saved, God saved you out of this over here. You're supposed to not conform to that anymore. You're supposed to conform to what God wants you to do. Amen? You're supposed to go where God wants you to go and do the things that God wants you to do, okay? And Romans 12 and 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world. Key word, world. Remember that. Underline it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. So we're not to be conformed to this world, to the worldly things. Okay. What are worldly things? Everything that's against God. Carnal things. Okay. If you look in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh, that's all you need to know. Just read it. You'll know what not to conform to. I don't have to preach it to you. You got a book. You need to get in the book. You need to read it. You need to study it. Amen. Be not conformed to this world. Well, this flesh is of this world. Amen. This right here is of this world. This right here is what you fight more than. This is what I fight more than anything else is this. The guy that I shave a little bit in the mirror is my worst enemy. I'm telling you right now, I am my worst enemy. See, the devil, all he's got to do is get you to mess up once. And then after all that, it comes natural. See, this is natural. That is natural. That didn't get saved. That wants to conform to the world. But the part of you that has been born again, reborn, it wants to conform to what God wants to do. But there's a battle. There's a spiritual battle every day. So Paul was telling us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, how do you do that? Well, you get your mind on godly things. Take your mind off the carnal things and get your mind on the godly things, the things of God. Stay in the book. You know what I'm saying? God gave us this book for a reason. He didn't give us this book just to say, oh, yeah, I got a Bible. I got a holy Bible. Good for you. That's great. But it don't do you a nickel's worth of good unless you read it or you hear it preached. Sitting on a coffee table collecting dust and looking at it, they ain't going to help you. That's like going to the doctor and getting a prescription and then leaving it sitting on the counter and don't take it. Amen? This book right here has got every remedy you need in it. Amen? So Paul's saying don't be conformed. Don't be in agreement with the world. Okay? Now, this flesh, it wants that. It desires that. How many of y'all can be in a store and a song come on that you used to like when you was 13 years old, and you know every stinking word of it, right? You can sing every word of that song in tune. The music could come on, and you can start singing it. It's because this flesh loves it. This flesh wants to conform to it. But there's something inside you telling you, you really shouldn't be singing that song. You know that ain't right. You shouldn't be singing that. That's not giving God the glory there, okay? Hey, bud, wake up. Wake up. You know, we all do that. Listen, we're all made out of the same stuff. Well, I'm standing up here. I'm just like you. I'm just standing up here. Amen. I'm transparent when I get up to teach. I ain't, listen, I'm a zero with how's the preacher say that? Zero with the ring rubbed out, amen? But he's everything, amen? He is everything. But then we read on down, look in verse 17. Then he gives them a charge here. Wherefore, come out from among them. Who's them? That's the world. Come out from among the world. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be ye separate. That word separate has two definitions. Has two definitions. The word separate means divided from the rest, disconnected, or disjoined. All right? And that's used for things that have been connected. Amen? So you were in the world, right? You were in the world. You were connected. You were conformed to the world. And then when you got born again, the Spirit of God, amen, separated you from that. You became disconnected from that world. All right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. Amen? That's the book. So we were connected to the world. If you're in here and you're born again, you used to be connected. You used to be joined. You used to be yoked with the world. But when you got born again, you got separated. Amen? So the other definition is set apart from a number for a particular service. Now, when you got disconnected from the world, that's what happened to you. You got set apart for a particular service. And we have an example of that in Acts chapter 13 in verse 2. And it says this, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So, when you get saved, God separates you. He disconnects you from the world, and he separates you to a work. But you got to figure out what that work is. And you got to do that by prayer and reading the book and sitting in the church. Listen, a lot of people have been called to the ministry by just hearing preaching. And the preaching didn't have nothing to do with what they was getting dealt with about. Being here, being in your place, being where you're supposed to be. If you want to know what God wants you to do, this is the best place to do it. You come here, you stay in the book, you pray. Listen, you got to have a personal prayer life with God. Amen. He desires a relationship with you. He desires to speak with you. He desires to be in the same presence with you. You know what I'm saying? No other religion on the planet has a God that desires a relationship with them. You see, everybody, all these other religions, they're seeking a relationship with God. You know, all these Buddhists and these Taoists and all these different religions, they're seeking a relationship. It's man seeking a relationship with their God. But Christianity is God seeking a relationship with man. That's what separates Christianity from other religions. Okay? So, we're to be separated. And the problem and the disconnect that we have today in the church and with converts is this. What happens is they get disconnected. They get separated from the world. And then, instead of separating to something, like this discipleship class we got is great, especially for new converts. How many people in here has been saved less than a year? Anybody in here been saved less than a year? Yeah, done now. Okay, that I suggest getting in that thing. I'll tell you why. Now, this is just common sense, all right? This is just common sense. If I'm comfortable over here, right, this is where I've been all, let's say I got saved when I was 26 years. I was here 26 years. And I got born again, and I went to right here. and stopped. No discipleship, no prayer, no Bible reading, none of that, okay? This is what happens. I need to go over there. That's where God wants me to be, okay? But I don't know anything about that. I know absolutely nothing about that over there because I'm new. I'm a new creation. I have no idea what's ahead, but I know what's back there. And the first time a little trouble raises its head, you know where you run to? Your comfort zone. So you end up back where you're at, detached, but hugging real close to where you was at. And it makes you totally ineffective for God. Makes you totally ineffective for God when that happens. And that's why you have so many Christians. There's going to be people, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, when you get to heaven someday, there's going to be people in heaven that you thought, how in the world did they get here? Well, they got there the same way you did. Amen. But you got connected to the source and they was disconnected and went back and tried to reconnect and there was no growth. It's going to happen. You're going to see people and you're like, I never knew they were saved. I thought for sure they was going to go to hell. And shoot, they's probably, I mean, you know, they're right where you're at. And that's what happens. There's a disconnect on that. So when we get saved, we are to separate from the world. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says this. John says this, love not the world. It says, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, the world, what does the world mean? All right. Well, first of all, the world means an ordered system. An ordered system. Okay. So, ordered system, it also refers to the earth and worldly affairs. Now, the preacher's been talking about this doctrine of Satan stuff, about the principalities and the powers and the rulers in the dark places. That's the world. That's the world right there, okay? Listen, Satan is the god of this world. And I'm going to read it to you right now. Look on the next page back in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read that. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. So this world that we live in, the world, I'm not talking about the planet. I'm talking about this government, the satanic government. And you can look around you and you cannot deny that we're living in that. Because where now they're just homosexuality and transgenderism and just not only that, but just immorality and just a total disregard for your fellow man. Okay? I mean, when you could be standing out in the middle of the road with lit up, I'm talking about working, and somebody's coming down the road and they're going 80 miles an hour and they don't even slow down when they drive past you. I mean, they just never slow down. That's because they don't care. They don't care. You know why? Because they're blinded. They're blinded by the God of this world. Amen? So this God of this world, Satan, we have to, and it says right here, love not the world, not the things of the world. And he said, and then it goes to say, any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's dangerous. If you're in here, And you've made a profession. Now listen, I'm not trying to talk anybody out of salvation, okay? That's between you and the Lord. It ain't got a nickel's worth of nothing to do with me. But if you're in here and you can continue to do the same things you were doing before you got saved, and you love those things, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Who's the love of the Father? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that indwells in you. So if you're here and that's your situation, that's the situation you're in, you need to check on that. You need to get help with that. Amen. Because there's like it says, there's no agreement between the Holy Spirit and darkness. There's no agreement. Let me ask you this question. Light and darkness. Did you know darkness is not an affirmative force? Darkness is not an affirmative force. Okay? It only thrives when the light or the absence of light is present. Walk into your house at night and turn the light on. What happens? It goes away, don't it? There ain't no dark. There ain't no darkness. So when you're walking along in your Christian life and you feel dark, it's just the problem is you need to turn that light on. You need to get in that book. You need to separate from the world. There's something you're doing. Something you're doing is causing that darkness to prevail in your life. Jesus lighteth every man. Amen. So the other thing about the world is talking about the inhabitants of the earth, mankind. And in John 3:16, it says this, and 3:17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That world. It's not talking about that government, that satanic government. It's talking about the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. That's why Jesus came. He came to save sinners. Amen. So we're not to be conformed to this world, and we're supposed to be transformed. Not conformed, transformed. We're supposed to try to be more like Christ. Amen. Now that's an everyday struggle for all of us. There ain't any one of us in here has arrived. I can tell you that right now. There ain't none of us arrived. Amen. Because listen, the best that we can do is junk without Jesus. Amen. He's the best thing about us. Because you know what happened to you when you got separated from the world? He took your dirty, filthy, nastiness, your old ragged, moth-eaten garments, and he snatched them things off you, and he put a robe on you, and he took your unrighteousness, and he gave you his righteousness. Amen. That's why we're supposed to be separate. That's why we're supposed to be different. And some people take this thing of separation too far, okay? What they'll do is they'll try to hide under a rock. I got to get away. Listen, you can't get away from it. You work in it. You live in it. You're around it. You go to Walmart. It's all around. You can't go nowhere. You can't get. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen. You can't hide from it. You can't hide from it. It's in your face all the time. So we got to learn how to deal with it. You got to learn how to deal with it. And some people take it so far to where they're over here and they're ineffective. And they have crazy. Listen, biblical separation is not personal conviction. You understand what I'm saying? Biblical separation is not personal conviction. Okay? Everybody has their own little personal convictions. All right? I have a personal conviction. I will not wear a tie with a short sleeve dress shirt. That's my personal conviction, right? I wouldn't, but I'm not mad at you because I ain't mad at Brother Lyndon because he is. I'm not up here preaching, you're going to hell because you're wearing a tie and a short sleeve shirt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. But some people take themselves so far out of the game that they're ineffective for God. They won't even talk to people. How can you witness to sinners if you're hiding under a rock? How can you tell people about the glorious light of Jesus Christ when you're hiding under a rock because you're afraid to be in the world? The best thing you could do, I'm telling you right now, if you got kids or if you got grandkids or you just got neighbor kids, when something's wrong and you see it, tell them about it. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. People shouldn't do that. People shouldn't do this. Because what you're doing is you're keeping them hid in a corner over here. And when they do grow up, they're going to walk out and they're going to get eaten alive. Because they're not going to know what's right. They're not going to know what's wrong. They don't know nothing about biblical separation. Amen. So we have got to teach our children what is right and what is not right. And listen, things that are different are not the same. That's real deep, but it's a fact. Things that are different are not the same. Remember that. Your kids need to know that. Your kids need to know that, listen, a boy's a boy and a girl's a girl. Amen. Look, man, this is biology. They're talking about the science. It's not science. That's insanity. The Bible warns us about science falsely so-called, amen. And that's science falsely so-called. Listen, are there kids in here? Little kids? Anyway, I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say it. It's the parents' decision. It's the parents, up to the parents to talk to their kids about stuff like that. Amen. It ain't got needs nothing to do with the school. It ain't got nothing to do with the government. Listen, the government can't raise your kids as good as you can. Right. And I ain't no politician, but I'm smart enough to know that. Because they've tried, and look where we're at. Okay? Now, if you're in here, you're a government social worker, I'll pray for you. But other than that, listen, our kids need to know what's right and what's wrong and how to be biblically separated unto the things of God and not to be conformed to this world. Listen, they need to know, just because a teacher stands up before them and tells them that there's something, this is right and this is the way it's supposed to be, they need to know that that's not right. And they need to know that they have the right to tell that that's not right. Right. Amen? They don't have to stand there or sit there and be subjected to that stuff. If my youngins was in that, I'd be like, you get up and you go, get out. Go out. You call me, I'll come pick you up. I mean, I ain't having it. Listen, they are ruining this world system. This satanic system is ruining our children. Amen? They're our future. They are our future. That's why I said, listen, somebody's going to have to stand in this pulpit one day, because preacher ain't going to be here, I ain't going to be here, and some of y'all that preach and teach ain't going to be here. Amen? So if we don't do something and teach these youngins what's right and how to be biblically separated and live right and live moral and do the things that's supposed to be done, then we're in a shape. We're in a bad shape. Amen? I want to look at a biblical example of this separation. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And I'll be done here in a minute. I'll quit rambling on. I got time? I got plenty of time. I'm going to read you quite a bit of scripture here. But I want you to listen. It's important. This is a picture. Now listen, Daniel, here's the backstory. Israel had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. They've been brought back to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar has picked out all the well-favored young men to serve in his kingdom. So he's got them all separated aside, and they're going through a time of trial and whatever. Anyway, we will read this, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem. And besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed unto them daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Abednego, of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? I want to stop right there for a minute. Now, y'all heard the story. They've been set aside for a purpose. And they were prescribed a certain amount of food and drink for 3 years. But it says Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with that meat. And it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then you get down here to verse 10, and it says the guy's afraid, and he says, why should he see your faces worse than the liking of the children of your sort? Your sort. So that means those four Hebrew boys wasn't the only Israelites that got selected for this. He said, your sort, your sort, your sort. But they, those four, were the only ones that said, we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat. You know what? They knew who they belonged to. They knew that that was part of the world, and that they wasn't going to defile themselves with it. And we're going to have to do that as children of God, amen? We're going to have to decide. We're going to have to purpose. If you're going to live right and live a separated life for God, biblically separated, you are going to have to purpose in your heart to do so, because it will not come naturally. It will not come naturally. You're going to have to make a purpose. So they purpose to make a decision not to do that. Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said unto Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So I looked up that word pulse, and it ain't talking about your heartbeat. It's talking about beans. Now look, they said, we don't want that over there. We want beans and give us water. Give us beans and water for 10 days and just prove us and see if we'll still be fine. So, now I can imagine now. Imagine just being in that. Now, you guys, you've been anybody's been in the service, right? You've been around a bunch of different kind of people from all different lives. You know, it's just crazy. And you're over here, you got four guys over here, and they're over here eating pinto beans and drinking water. And these guys over here, man, they have got a buffet. I'm talking about everything the king prescribed. His wine, all of his food, all the delicacies that a king would have. And you got these four Hebrews over here, and like, we ain't eating that. Those guys, man, look at this. We eating crab legs. They ain't allowed to have crab legs. Jews was not allowed to have crab legs. Right? Hey, look, we got some ham over here. They ain't allowed to have ham. Hey, we got some shrimp. We ain't allowed to have that. Daniel's like, we can't eat that. We can't eat that. We can't eat pork. We can't do all that. And they're over here, they're separated. They're separated, right? These guys over here heckle them because they got the king's meat. Well, that's what the devil is today. He's throwing that, he's got that table spread right in front of you. And you're a child of God, and he's like, here, eat. It's all yours. You can eat it. It's free. Take it. Take it. Take it. But you know what? They had a purpose. They purposed in their heart that they would not take that meat. And then it says this, then let our countenance be looked upon thereafter before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And thou seest, as thou seest, dealest thou with servants. So what he says, after 10 days, if we don't look better than this other crowd over here, then you do whatever you want to do. That's what he told them. All right. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Now listen to this. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. So listen, they went with God. They remained, they kept their separated status. They didn't go back into the world. They could have. It was a temptation. There's no doubt it was a temptation. Because if I was sitting over here eating beans and drinking water, and these guys over here was eating cheesecake, you're talking about a struggle. For me, anyway, that would have been a struggle, right? Think about it. Think about it, they had a ribeye sitting over there, and you over here eating pinto beans and water, and they over here eating barbecue chicken and everything else, just picture it in your mind how tempting that would be. They're sitting at the same table eating beans and drinking water. Why? Because it was right. It was right for them to do that. And if you read on, God blessed them for that. He said they stood before the king. And matter of fact, it said, and the king communed with them, and among all them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding. And the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. I'm going to tell you something. God blesses a separated life. He blesses a separated life. There ain't no doubt about it. Listen, it might not be convenient, and it might not be easy, but it sure is worth it. It's worth it in the long run. Listen, this ain't going to last. This ain't going to last forever. One day, we're either going to lay down and die, or we're going to fly up out of this place. Amen? And we're going to go to a place where the milk and honey flows, and there's streets of gold, a river of life, tree of life, and best of all, the Lord Jesus is going to be standing there. And we're going to see those hands that were pierced for our sins. And then one day, we're going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to see those hands. And you're going to see that side that was pierced. You're going to see all that. And he's going to say this. I'm guessing he's going to say this. He may say this. This is what I've done for you. How'd you live for me? Did you live for yourself? Did you take the king's meat? Did you love the world? Or did you love me? That's what it's going to come down to. Living a separated life ain't even about you. It's about him. It's all about him. Everything we do is all about him. And I appreciate y'all listening. I'm going to be done. I'm done. But living a separated life has to be on purpose, and it doesn't happen on its own. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. We ask you, Lord, to bless in the upcoming service. Bless the choir as they sing. Bless Brandon as he preaches. Lord, we ask you to be high and lifted up today. Lord, we're unworthy. We're unworthy of what you've done for us. Thank you for doing it, though. And we appreciate all that you do for us. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.